It's Tuned to Yesterday, delivering shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. Coming up in this hour, sitcoms. Later on, we'll hear the Mel Blanc Show from 1947. But right now, it's off to Summerfield in your theater of the mind for The Great Gildersleeve. Harold Perry stars in this NBC broadcast from early in the show's run, from June 11th, 1944.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
The Kraft Cheese Company, makers of parquet margarine and a complete line of famous quality food products, presents Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve. Kraft brings you The Great Gildersleeve every week at this time, written by John Wheaton and Sam Moore. We'll hear from The Great Gildersleeve in just a moment. Instead of playtime vacations this summer, millions of older boys and girls, and grown-ups too, will pitch in to help our farmers and our nation's industries meet increased production quotas. Now that's going to call for extra energy, and here's an economical food that provides energy galore. It's parquet margarine. Yes, parquet margarine, the delicious spread for bread made by Kraft. It's one of the best energy foods you can serve. And besides furnishing energy, every pound of parquet margarine contains 9,000 units of vitamin A. Now, that's important, too, because every time you spread appetizing parquet margarine on bread or biscuits, rolls, and muffins, you add nourishing goodness to these other wholesome foods. To Summerfield, home of The Great Gildersleeve. His campaign for mayor has been going like a house of fire all week. Yes, there's been a big swing to Gildersleeve, so perhaps he may be forgiven a slight swagger as he strolls home from the office, accompanied by his campaign manager, and drops in at his headquarters over the barber shop.
Did you see how the indicator's poll came out, Judge?
Yes, I saw it.
Pretty nice, eh?
All it gives you is a bare majority.
There's nothing bare about it. 53 to 47. That's a bigger lead than the indicator gave Landon in 1936.
Well, don't let it go to your head. Go on in.
Leroy.
Oh, hiya.
Take your feet off that desk.
Okay.
How do you think that looks, sitting here in my headquarters reading comic books? What are you doing here, anyway?
Yeah, where is everybody? Where's Mrs. Banks? I thought she was on duty here this afternoon.
Well, Mrs. Banks had to go to a funeral, so she got Marge to take her place.
Well, then where's Marjorie?
Well, she wanted to get her hair washed.
Why today, for goodness sake?
On account of Miss Goodwin and her mother coming to dinner.
Oh.
So I very kindly offered to substitute for her.
Oh, my goodness.
She better pay me, too.
Judge, I ask you, is this any way to run a campaign? Is it?
It's your campaign, Gildy. And it's your nephew.
Yes, and you're supposed to be my manager.
What are you worrying about? You've already got a bigger plurality than Landon.
old goat. See that you stick around here till someone arrives to take over the desk. Come along, Leroy. We've got to get home to dinner.
But, Gildy, what about the meeting of the Finance Committee?
Can't make it, Judge.
Confound it, Gildy. You know the game is no good with less than four.
Yep, sorry, Judge. I have a little political work to attend to at home.
What's that?
My future mother-in-law. She's meeting the family for the first time. Leroy, I want you to watch your manners tonight.
I always do.
Well, watch them a little more closely, then. I want you to make a good impression.
Say, Unc.
Yes?
When are you going to do it?
Huh? Do what?
Get married.
Oh, well, I guess I told you. Your Auntie Eve and I have a little understanding about that. As soon as I'm elected mayor, if not sooner.
You mean you might get married right away?
Well, the primaries are only 10 days from now. If I get the nomination, I'm as good as elected. So why put it off?
Gee.
Yes. I'll tell you a little secret, my boy. That's why Miss Goodwin's mother is visiting her now. That's why she's coming to dinner tonight, to meet the family and sort of look us over.
Yeah? And what if she doesn't like us?
Of course she'll like us, Leroy. It's up to you and up to Marjorie and all of us to see that she does. And you like her, too. You like her fine.
How do you know?
Because if you don't, I'll break your little neck. Now get along. Well, Bertie, what's for dinner? We got special company tonight, you know.
Yes, sir, and I've got a special roast of pork.
Roast of pork? Oh, that's wonderful. I don't suppose you've got any applesauce to go with it.
Well, I wasn't born yesterday.
Oh, my goodness, I should have told you.
What?
Miss Goodwin's mother can't eat pork.
Can't eat pork?
No, it doesn't agree with her, Bertie. She's on a diet. Is there anything else you could give her?
Well, I could open up a can of beans, I guess.
Oh, not beans, Bertie. She can't eat beans either.
No beans. I suppose I could boil up a poached egg.
Yes, no eggs, Bertie. Eggs poison her. Doesn't leave much choice, does it?
Don't leave any.
Yes. Well, you think up something, Bertie. I'll leave it to you. I know I can depend on you.
Hey, Bertie, can I have something to eat? I'm starved.
Leroy, close that door. You want the smell of food to get all over the house?
Might as well give her a smell. She can't eat nothing.
I'm dying.
Not before dinner, Leroy. It's almost ready.
But I'm dying.
I doubt that. Where's Marjorie?
She'll be down in a minute.
Have you washed your hands?
Yes.
Well, go wash them.
Okay. I'll wash you, beautiful.
Want me?
Leroy, the door.
Oh, sorry.
Well, my dear.
Hello.
You're looking radiant this evening.
You think so? Thank you.
Never seen you looking better. Come on, kiss your old Uncle Mort. Marjorie.
What is it?
What have you got on your lips?
Oh, Uncle Mort, everybody uses lipstick.
Not my niece.
Why, I've been using it for months. Shows how much attention you pay to me.
Well, this is different. Eve is coming here this evening, and her mother. What will she think?
Don't ask me. Your own daughter uses it.
Eve?
Certainly.
I've never noticed it on her.
I've noticed it on you.
Bertie, I don't see anything to laugh at.
You would if you had to wash your shirt collar.
Uh-oh, the front door. That's them. Let Bertie go, Marjorie.
Huh?
No, I'll go. Let Bertie go. Now, you finish the dinner, Bertie. Marjorie and I'll go. Yeah. How do I look, Marjorie?
Oh, you look fine, only... Wait a minute.
Yeah? What for?
Come back here.
Why?
Lipstick.
Oh. Wait, Leroy. Well... Eve.
Hello, darling. Mother, you know Throckmorton.
Why, of course. I'm so glad to see you again, my boy.
My boy?
So glad you could come, Mother.
Mother?
There's an echo in here. I'd like to have you meet my niece, Marjorie.
How charming.
How do you do, Mrs. Goodwin? May I take your wrap?
And how well trained. Such nice manners. You know, my dear, there's a little girl just about your age in the neighborhood where I live. I see her riding past every morning on her bicycle.
I don't ride a bicycle anymore. I gave mine away when I outgrew it. Several years ago.
How they do grow up, don't they?
Yes.
How about the wrap?
Oh, yes, sir. There you are, my dear.
Thank you.
And who's this little man? He seems to be hiding.
Well, this is my nephew, Leroy.
Oh, little Leroy.
Say, how do you do to Mrs. Goodwin?
How do you do, Mrs. Goodwin?
That's the way. You're not going to be afraid of me, are you?
No.
Well, of course not. I love little boys. You and I are going to be great friends. I just know it. After dinner, you must take me upstairs and show me your toys.
Toys?
He'd love to do that, I'm sure. Well, here we are, standing out here in the cold. Only it isn't very cold, is it? No, it's been rather warm today. Too warm. Well, let's go inside where it's cool, shall we? After you, Eve. After you, Mother.
Oh, thank you, Throckmorton.
Say, Unc.
What is it?
Is she kidding?
You be polite to her, young man, and don't let me hear any more talk like that. Now get in there.
I want to tell you, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I was just a wreck. My friend Mrs. Kohler came to see me while I was there, and she said she had just never seen anyone look so awful.
Throckmorton.
Well, do you know, they kept me under observation there for 2 solid weeks.
Pardon me, but can I...
No more, thank you, no more. 2 whole weeks. Well, of course, I didn't say anything, but I could just see they weren't getting anywhere. And that was when my son called in Dr. Farrer. I just said to him, and Dr. Farrer should come to see me. And I said to my son,
hi.
I wish you'd come...
Hello, Throckmorton.
Well, sir, I want to tell you, from that moment, I was a different woman after Doctor came. A different woman. I simply swear by Dr. Farrer now. He's just been so wonderful, I can't tell you. And then he told me, thank you, said, Mrs. Goodwin, you're lucky to be alive today, and I suppose I am. Of course, I'll always have to be careful, but I don't complain. You will have to say that for me, Eve. I don't complain.
No, Mother very seldom complains.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh, but gracious, here I've done all the talking. Now, Mr. Gildersleeve, you talk.
Huh?
Tell us about something.
Well, I hardly know what to tell you about.
I saw a movie yesterday, The Fighting Seabees. Super. It's all about this guy. He didn't have the right attitude.
Not just now, Leroy. Some other time, my boy.
Oh, do you allow Leroy to go to motion pictures?
Well, he isn't always allowed, but he seems to go.
I suppose you saw Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs then. Didn't you just love it?
Let's go into the other room, shall we?
Yes, let's go.
Uncle Mort, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll be going up to bed now.
Why, Marjorie, so early? Aren't you feeling well?
Oh, I feel fine, but it's been a hard day, and I think I'll just go up, if you don't mind.
Yeah, me too, Unc. Hard day. I'm kind of tired.
Huh?
Good night, everyone. Good night, Mrs. Goodwin. Good night, Miss Goodwin.
Good night, Marjorie. You must come and see me. I'll see if I can't find a little present for you.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Leroy.
Oh, wait just a minute, Leroy.
What for?
I'm coming up with you.
What?
Wouldn't you like me to tuck you in and hear your prayers and maybe tell you a story? I always used to do that for Eve.
Oh, gosh, Mrs. Goodwin, you don't need to do that. I'll be all right. You stay down here and entertain Unc. You stay right there.
Dear, I don't like to eat and run, but I'm afraid it's our bedtime, too.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You can't go this early.
It is early, Mother, only 8:30.
Now, you know what I've always told you, my dear. Tomorrow is another day.
But 8:30?
I always make it a point to be in bed by 9 o'clock sharp.
What for?
So I can be up bright and early next morning. I'll go get my wrap.
But, Eve, the evening hasn't even begun.
Now, darling, Mother's tired.
Couldn't we put your mother to bed and then step out?
Oh, I wouldn't want to leave her alone.
Well, gosh, she's old
enough. Tomorrow's Saturday, dear. We'll have a whole nice long day together, if you wish. Just you and I.
Oh, you mean it, Eve? We could take a lunch, maybe, and go somewhere? Maybe Grass Lake or... Oh, let me help you with your wrap, Mrs. Goodman.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, we've just had the nicest evening, haven't we, Eve?
Yes, we have.
I don't know when I've had a better time.
Me either.
Of course, I'm afraid I've talked too much.
Talked not at all. Good night.
Oh, good night. Come along, Eve. Tomorrow's another day.
You'll forgive Mother, won't you, darling? She's so excited.
I think your mother is a fine person, Eve. I like her.
I'm glad.
Evie, darling, tomorrow is another day.
She's a fine person, but if she says that once more... Good night, Eve. Good night, Mother.
Good night.
Good night.
8:30. Could go down to the drugstore, but Peavy's just about closing up. Might go down to headquarters. No, I don't want to do that. I wonder what Leela's doing. I see her lights on over there. I better go to bed.
Now let's get back to our friend the great Gildersleeve. It's Saturday morning and he's up early in anticipation of a long day of pleasure. We find him now smartly dressed for a day in the country with a picnic basket over his arm, arriving at Eve Goodwin's front door.
Embrace me, da-dee-dee-dee-da-da-dee. Oh, good morning, Mother.
Good morning, Throckmorton. Come right in and make yourself at home.
Oh, thank you. I'll do that little thing.
You can set the picnic basket right here.
Thank you. You're looking mighty chipper this morning, Mother.
Well, that's just the way I feel. I felt so good, I got up at 6 o'clock.
Oh, bright and early.
Yes, indeed. I made my bed, that is, after my exercises, and then I came right down.
Exercises? You don't do those deep knee bends and all that?
Oh, no. I just do abdominal breathing every morning by an open window. It's wonderful for you.
Oh, I suppose so. I just breathe the regular way myself, lungs.
Well, I'm sure my method would help you. I think you're the abdominal type.
Oh. Well, these trousers are a little tight. Well, it's a fine day for a picnic, isn't it?
Lovely.
Mother, you're sure that you'll be able to find plenty to do here all day, all by yourself?
Oh, mercy, Throckmorton, you don't have to worry about me. I can find millions of things to do around this house. And besides, I know how young people are.
By George, you're one mother-in-law in a million.
Well, good morning, Throckmorton.
Oh, hello, Eve.
Throckmorton just paid me a very pretty compliment, dear.
Oh, really? Should I be jealous?
Oh, I don't think you'll have to worry.
Well, Eve, all ready for a happy day at Grass Lake?
Oh, I hope so, dear. But there are some things I've just got to do first.
Oh? What things?
I've got to do a little shopping with Mother.
But you promised, Eve. Your mother doesn't want to go shopping anyway. She just wants to clean the house, exercise, and weed the garden. She just told me.
Well, maybe she does, but there are one or two things she's got to have.
No, Eve, I don't really.
Mother, you've got to have a hat. I can't let another day go without buying you a hat.
But, Eve, I've got a picnic lunch in the car. We ought to get started.
Throckmorton, do you want Mother running around town looking like a scarecrow? Well, I don't. Come on, you can drive us down to Hogan Brothers. It shouldn't take long.
Oh, Throckmorton, what can we do? I've never been able to argue with Eve.
Neither have I.
Now, Mother, you're being a little difficult. I think that hat's perfectly adorable on you.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear, but I think it makes me look too young.
Oh, Mother, that's silly. What do you think, Throckmorton?
Looks fine to me.
No, Throckmorton wants me to look giddy, I'm afraid.
What about the broad brim model, Mother?
Oh, no, I don't like that one at all. Do you like it, Throckmorton?
Huh? Oh, I think it's perfect.
I think it makes me look like a mushroom. Have you anything else, miss?
Well, I really don't know what else to show you, madam. These are all the models we have.
Let me look at that straw we tried first. I like that.
Oh, Eve, I don't like straw hats. They always make me sneeze.
Oh, Mother, that's something you've just got fixed in your mind. Nobody could possibly be allergic to straw hats.
What's the matter with the little blue hat, Eve?
The blue one? I never even considered that a possibility. Mother, will you try this one with the feather, please?
Well, I've told you, Eve, a feather makes me look too tall.
We could remove the feather, madam.
And she'd look too short.
Why don't you cut the feather in half?
Throckmorton,
huh?
Don't try to be funny. Can't you cooperate?
But Eve,
Eve, here's a hat I really like.
Oh, well, do let me see.
Oh, dear, how did she find that? That's my hat.
Huh? If she likes it, miss, sell it to her. I'll give you an extra $5.
You will?
Yeah.
Just watch me.
Well, I must say, this is the only hat I've seen here that's worth trying on.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't show it to you before, madam. It only came in this morning. It's copied from a Paris exclusive.
Yes, smuggled out by the underground.
I think it's just my type, Eve, don't you?
Exactly. Don't you think so, Throckmorton?
Oh, like it was made for her. Wrap it up, miss.
Why don't you wear it, Mother, and let her send your old hat?
Yes, that's even better. How much is it?
$15.
$15? Does that include everything?
Yes, sir.
Well. Here. Come on, ladies. We'll get started.
Wait a minute, Throckmorton.
Huh? What's now?
I want to look at Mother for just a minute. Oh, yes, I was afraid so.
Eve, the hat is perfect.
Oh, yes, but her dress.
What's the matter with the dress?
It doesn't go with the hat. Come on up to the next floor, Mother.
Oh, my goodness. Well, go ahead and buy her an outfit. Buy her the whole store. When you get through, you'll find me at Peavy's. Have a pickle, Peavy?
No, thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve. I agree with pickles, but they don't agree with me.
How about a turkey sandwich?
Oh, I'm not very hungry, thank you. You appear to be stuck with a picnic lunch, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Stuck is the word, Peavy. I was hoping to spend the day at Grass Lake with my fiancée.
Well, you couldn't have a nicer day for her. Mother-in-law trouble?
Well, I suppose you could call it that, Peavy. Although, I don't know. I think the old lady would have let us go. She said, go on, enjoy yourselves. I know how it is with young people.
They say that. You know, Mr. Gildersleeve's mother-in-laws say one thing and mean another.
Oh? Well, how can you ever tell where you stand?
You'll get the hang of it. I remember when Mother Horsfall visited me first with Miss Peavy. I always call her Mother Horsfall.
Yes, I know, Peavy.
Well, I used to have an easy chair I sat in after supper. Every night she used to say, it certainly is nice that Richard has that easy chair to sit in.
Well, what's the matter with that?
After supper, on about the fourth night, she sat in the chair. I didn't get another shot at it till she left.
When was that?
She was there 10 days to a day.
Well, Eve's mother's only staying a few days, Peavy. But I never get any time alone with Eve.
Say, Mr. Gildersleeve, I wonder if a bird lecture wouldn't solve your problem this evening.
Bird lecture? What the devil is that?
Well, there's this fellow, Professor Swallow, gives a lecture on birds. He's named after a bird himself.
Yes, I can see that, Peavy. What's the lecture?
Well, he's giving it tonight at the YWCA. He gives it here every year. It's all about different kinds of birds and their habits and so on. Very educational.
Sounds like the dullest way to spend an evening I ever heard of.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that. Although it's pretty close to it, I'll admit. A fellow whistles to imitate various bird calls.
Sounds horrible, Peavy. I wouldn't want to take my girl to anything like that.
Well, I wasn't thinking of that, Mr. Gildersleeve. But how would it be for the old lady? Yeah.
Peavy, you're a genius.
No, I wouldn't say that. You think she'd like to go?
Oh, she'll go, whether she likes to or not.
I wonder if she'd care to go with Mrs. Peavy.
Just the thing. They could have a fine time together, Peavy. By George, I don't know how to thank you.
No, don't thank me, Mr. Gildersleeve. We've got 2 tickets, and I've heard this fellow 6 years running.
Well, I'm glad you're getting something out of it.
I hope there'll be something in it for you, too.
Well, don't worry, Peavy. We'll send the old lady to the bird lecture, and Eve and I'll stay home and play Love Nest. Well, you'll have to admit, Eve, this is pretty nice.
Happy, Throckmorton.
What do you think? I'm sitting on a sofa with my best girl.
You're sweet. I hope you weren't too disappointed about the trip to the lake, darling.
Oh, I've forgotten all about it. And you're right, Eve. Your mother should have some new clothes.
Don't you like her clothes, Throckmorton?
Oh, sure. Only I just think whatever you say is right.
Oh, I was afraid you were criticizing Mother's wardrobe.
Certainly not, my dear. Her clothes are fine.
I hope she's having a good time at the lecture.
She'll love it. Mrs. Peavy likes it. Your mother's bound to like it, isn't she?
Well, not necessarily. Mother's not quite as old as Mrs. Peavy, Throckmorton.
Oh, no, no, of course not. But I imagine your mother likes birds, doesn't she?
Well, I don't think she cares about them one way or the other. Do you like Mother Throckmorton?
Do I? She's a peach, Eve. She's true blue.
Well, I'd feel very unhappy if I thought you didn't like Mother.
Oh, I'm crazy about her, Eve. Why shouldn't I be? She's the old block that you're the chip off of. Anybody would know you were her daughter.
Really? I hope I look like Mother when I'm her age.
Sure you will, but don't worry. That won't be for some time.
What did you say, Throckmorton?
Did I say something? Oh, no, I just meant that you'll be young for a long time, Eve. Young and beautiful, just like you are now.
Do you really think I'm beautiful?
I sure do. How about a kiss?
Oh, it's too soon after dinner.
Huh? Well, gosh, Eve, we haven't got all night. I mean, that fella can't keep talking about birds forever. I mean, oh, gosh, Eve, how about a kiss?
That's not a very romantic way to approach a girl, Throckmorton.
Well, I can't be cagey all the time.
Oh, no. Not cagey, romantic.
I don't know how to be romantic.
Oh, yes, you do. Sometimes you can be very sweet.
Well, darn it, I feel sweet, but it's 9:30 already.
Stop talking about the time.
Huh?
That's not sweet.
I know. You're sweet, though, Eve.
That's better.
How would it be if I'd sing to you?
I think that'd be very nice. Do you want me to play?
Would you? I know a song I'd like to sing to you.
Come over to the piano. If I know it, I'll play it.
Oh, you know it. Deep in my heart, dear.
Oh, yes, I like that.
Deep in my heart, dear, I have a dream of you. Fashioned of a starlight, perfume of roses and dew. Our past
mother.
Don't stop singing, please. You have a lovely voice.
Well, thank you. What happened to the bird lecture?
Oh, the magic lantern broke down. Do go on singing, Throckmorton.
Oh, yes, Throckmorton. Sing something for Mother.
Eve, where are you going?
Just out to the kitchen. I'll be right back.
Sing something nice for me, Throckmorton.
All right, Mother. What would you like?
Well, let's see. Oh, one of my favorites is Polly Wolly Doodle. Do you remember it?
Yes, I remember it.
Now, don't be bashful. Come on. Oh, I went down south for to see my gal. Come on, come on, Throckmorton.
Oh, I went down south for to see my gal. Sing Polly Wolly Doodle all the day. My gal, she is a spunky gal. Sing Polly Wolly Doodle all the day.
Why, Throckmorton, what's the matter?
I don't know. I want to go home.
Hello. Is this the depot? This is Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. I want to make a reservation on the 219 to Pittsfield next Wednesday. It's for my mother-in-law. Oh? Well, have you got anything on Wednesday? Have you got anything before Wednesday? How about Thursday? Friday? I'd like a compartment. A lower would be all right. Well, how about an upper? Have you got a reclining day chair? Well, call me if you get anything. Hey, wait a minute. Is there any room in the baggage car? Oh, well. Good night, everybody.
Music on this program is directed by Claude Sweet. And this is Ken Carpenter speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company, makers of parquet margarine and a complete line of famous quality food products. Kraft invites you to listen again next week for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve. When warm weather sends your family's appetite into a slump, liven up interest in foods with the taste-tingling flavored tang of Kraft Salad Mustard. Yes, you can get Kraft quality in mustard, too, and this light, golden, creamy, smooth salad mustard is spiced just right for most everyone's taste. You can serve Kraft Salad Mustard in dozens of appetite-rousing ways. Blended into tasty relishes and sandwich fillings, spread on sausage and cold meat cuts, or added to salad dressings for extra flavor zest. What's more, Kraft Salad Mustard is grand to use in cooking. Blended into a golden sauce for hot cooked vegetables, or added to a tempting cheese fondue or Welsh rabbit. Then there's another Kraft quality mustard you'll want to try, a sharper variety with horseradish added. Buy them both for variety. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Great Gildersleeve on Tuned to Yesterday from June 11th, 1944 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. And now the Mel Blanc Show from June 6th, 1947 on CBS. Not only was Mel at this time currently working with Judy Canova, Jack Benny, and more programs, but was also the full-time voice of the Warner Brothers cartoons and was regarded as one of the busiest actors in radio. This episode next from CBS. It's the Mel Blanc Show.
Tooth Powder presents The Mal Blanc Show, written by Mac Benoff, with Mary Jane Croft, Joe Kearns, Hans Conry, Jim Backus, Jill Walker, the sportsman, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and starring the creator of the voice of Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
Yes, Colgate Tooth Powder, for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, brings you The Mal Blanc Show, with Mal playing his new character, Zookie.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. Hi.
And starring himself in person, Mal Blanc.
Hi, folks. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Colgate tooth powder keeps smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night. It cleans your teeth, makes breath so sweet. Use Colgate toothpowder.
It's a romantic June day in Mel Blanc's little town, and young couples like to sit in Crotona Park and dream of their future. In one part of the park, we hear Shirley Lewis saying to her boyfriend, Seymour,
"Oh, Seymour, we'll be so happy after we're married. I'll sit home knitting a garment to fit over tiny little arms and tiny little shoulders."
Gee, that's wonderful, Shirley. I hope it's a girl. And Dottie Feller is saying to her boyfriend, Nate,
"Oh, Nate, after we're married, we'll be so happy. I'll stay home knitting a garment to fit over tiny little arms and tiny little shoulders."
Gee, that's wonderful, Dottie. I hope it's a girl.
And where Betty Colby has been talking to her boyfriend, Mel Blanc, Betty is saying,
"Oh, Mel, we'll be so happy after we're married. I'll sit home knitting a garment to fit over tiny little arms and tiny little shoulders."
Gee, that's wonderful, Betty. I could use a new sweater.
Mel, I'm talking about children. Don't you want to have children? What are you laughing at? I said, don't you want to have children?
Yeah, but wouldn't it be easier if you had them? Well, anyway, I can't support a family, not with the cost of living what it is today.
Yes, the cost of living's really high, isn't it, Mel?
Betty, the cost of living is so high right now that it's cheaper to drop dead. But the public is getting wise. They're demanding more for their money.
What do you mean?
Well, take the movies. During the war, when things were good, they showed Mrs. Miniver. But now that things are bad, they have to show the two Mrs. Carrolls.
Mel, this is no time to joke. We can't expect any help from my father, either. He's terribly worried about the new supermarket that's opening right next to him. He may lose all his money.
Ah, money. Why do people always worry about money? Always engaged in the frantic pursuit of the ever-elusive dollar, giving their lives false values. Work is the solution to man's ills. Contentment and peace can only be found in good, honest labor.
Why, now that's beautiful. Where did you hear that?
When I went to collect my unemployment check. But all this talk about money is ridiculous. After all, what is money? Just paper. And I'm not asking much out of life. All I want to be is a paper collector.
Oh, look, there's Father. Now, listen, you be nice to him, Mel. He's very aggravated about that other supermarket. Oh, Father, hello.
Hello, Betty.
Hello, Mr. Colby.
Mel Blanc, you moron. You're ruining my supermarket. What did you do to that burglar alarm I gave you to fix?
Well, something wrong, Mr. Colby? I didn't have enough parts for the burglar alarm, so I put some in from a jukebox.
A jukebox? No wonder when I opened the store this morning, I found a burglar dancing with my night watchman. Old inside it was, too.
Well, what are you complaining about, Mr. Colby? You should have charged him 10 cents a dance.
Oh, you idiot. And you want to marry Betty. Well, I won't let it happen. An idiot is bound to have idiots for children.
That's not true, Mr. Colby. Your daughter is perfectly normal.
Now, look, Blanc, don't irritate me. I'm aggravated enough about that supermarket opening next to me.
Wait a minute, Mr. Colby. I got a great idea. That other supermarket is opening tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, why don't you put on a show in your supermarket and nobody will go to the other opening?
Say, that is a great idea, Mel. But who could I get for the show?
Leave it to me. I'll invite all the stars like John Garfield, Gene Kelly, Dane Clark, Katherine Hepburn, Edward G. Robinson, Hedy Lamarr, and Henry Schnickelfritz.
Who is Henry Schnickelfritz?
He's the one who'll show up. Mr. Colby, we don't need stars. I'll do the show myself.
You? What can you do?
I'll be the master of ceremonies. Oh, I can tell wonderful jokes. Just listen to this one. A big overgrown kid went to his mother and he said,
Ma, can I have a quarter for the movies?
So his mother gave him the money, and 10 minutes later, the kid was back asking,
Ma, can I have another quarter for the movies?
She gave it to him again, and sure enough, 10 minutes later, he was back.
Ma, can I have another quarter for the movies?
His mother said, but Junior, I've already given you the money for the movies twice. And Junior said,
yeah, but every time I buy a ticket, some jerk at the door tears it up.
Well, that was very funny. Well, if you can put together an act like that, I guess I can make you master of ceremonies.
Well, you won't be sorry, Mr. Colby. Now I gotta beat it back to the fix-it shop.
I'll write down the jokes I'll tell and have Zuki bring the act over to you. So long, Mr. Colby. So long, Betty.
Well, Zuki, I've been waiting for you. Did you bring Mel's act with you?
I got it right here in my pocket. Right in my coat. I got it in my shirt. I got it in my pants. I lost it.
Well, I suppose you'll have to go back to Mel and tell him to write out the act again.
Oh, no. I remember the jokes. The first one goes like this. I got a letter from my girl, and she's not feeling well.
You got a letter from your girl, and she's not feeling well?
Yeah, the letter says, I am in Chicago, sick.
Chicago, sick?
I think I should have said Chicago, ill. Hey, ain't that a hum the ding the ding the ding ding all aboard? It stinks, huh?
Zuki, there must be more to Mel's act than just that.
Oh, sure. Hey, here's another joke. It seems a man was. Oh, this will kill you. This man was walking down the street. When he met this girl. And then the girl said.
Yes, Zuki. What did the girl say?
I forgot.
Well, Zuki ought to be here soon. Hope nothing went wrong. Uh-oh, here comes something wrong. That conceited Hartley Benson, the town Beau Brummel. Hello, Hartley. Windy out, isn't it?
No, Mel. 'Tis merely thousands of women blowing their tops over great, big, adorable me. In fact, I know myself like an open book. I'd marry myself if I could only cook.
Hartley, you're not so wonderful with women.
Oh, no. Mel, old boy, for your information, I'm the only man who receives a free lifetime supply of elastics from the Bloomer Girl.
You're exaggerating.
Mel, old boy, have you seen the new telephone directories? On the cover it says, Housewives, for the time of the day, dial main 3131. But for the time of your life, dial Hartley Benson.
Hartley, you must think you're the greatest Romeo in the world.
Mel, form your own conclusion. But the women have gotten together and are sending me to a furniture store to have my lap upholstered.
Why?
They want to turn it into a love seat. In fact, Mel, at a recent Dr. IQ broadcast, there wasn't one single lady in the balcony.
How come?
I was sitting in the orchestra.
Hartley, is talking about yourself your only recreation?
No, Mel. Last night I had the most wonderful time. I went to an amusement park and rode the whip.
Why was it so good, Hartley?
It went around so fast, for the first time in my life, I was able to kiss myself on the back of my neck. To the fish exhibition. I was standing there when an octopus grabbed me in her enormous tentacles.
Did she crush you?
No, just hugged. So you see, Mel, I even attract fish.
Sure, they're crazy about worms.
Mel, you've touched me to the quick, but it makes me very happy to deliver this message to you. Mr. Colby thought the jokes you wrote were so terrible that he's appointed me master of ceremonies.
What?
That's right. That's right. He doesn't even want you around the supermarket tomorrow night. You're through. Well, I must be going. I'm such a lovely thing. I'm giving myself an engagement ring. Come on, Mel. Nice seeing me.
Ah.
What a character. He's the only guy I know who goes to a dance and then cuts in on himself. Gosh, Mr. Colby says I can't go to the supermarket tomorrow night. Well, I'll get to that show somehow, and I'll be the master of ceremonies, too. Yeah, but if I show up, Mr. Colby will break me in half. Say, that's not so bad. I can go on as a team.
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night. It cleans your teeth, makes breath so sweet. Use Colgate tooth powder.
And now Victor Miller and the orchestra with their arrangement of In My Adobe Hacienda. Going to be master of ceremonies at the big show in Colby's supermarket and thereby draw customers away from the rival market's grand opening, but his jokes were so bad that Mr. Colby fired Mel and is hiring Hartley Benson to do the job. Mel feels very badly about it. Right now, we find him in his fix-it shop, brooding.
Ah, what's the use of worrying? There's such a lump in my throat, I'll have to wash it down. Well, I'll pour myself a glass of water. Gosh, what am I going to do? Oh, here comes my lodge president, Mr. Cushing.
Hello, Mel. Ugga-boo, ugga-boo, boo, ugga.
Greetings, mighty potentate. Ugga-ugga-boo, ugga-boo, boo, ugga. How's your little sugar plum?
Mel, if you mean my wife, the word is wrinkled prune.
Oh, don't be so harsh with your wife, mighty potentate. She's not that bad.
Well, maybe you're right, Mel. Come to think of it, she's really a cross between the Queen of Sheba and Camille. Sort of a schlemiel. She made a new rule in the house, Mel. She said,
John, no matter how much we argue, before you go to sleep, you've got to kiss me.
Have you stopped arguing?
No, but I haven't been to bed for a week. What a woman. Mel, you've seen perfumes with names like Linger a Moment, Stay a While. Well, I'm making one especially for my wife.
What's it called?
Run for the Hills. Mel, she was even uglier on the day we were married.
Oh, mighty potentate. A bride always looks beautiful when she walks down the middle aisle.
Mel, she didn't walk down the middle aisle. When the preacher saw her face, he sneaked her in through the back door. I can still remember paying for our marriage license. I gave the clerk $1.50.
Oh, wait a minute. A marriage license costs $2.
Yeah, I know, but he took one look at her and gave it to me wholesale. Wonder Woman. The other day we were out hunting. I was standing there with a gun in my hand when my wife said,
John, don't just stand there. Shoot that crow. Go ahead, John. Shoot the old crow.
Gad, what a temptation. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. It's just that I've got low in the dog, dude.
You think you feel low, mighty potentate? I'm so low I could milk a gopher. I was supposed to be the master of ceremonies at Mr. Colby's supermarket show, but Hartley Benson is doing it now.
Well, Mel, you shouldn't be discouraged. Go on down there. Benson is liable to do a terrible job. Then you can step in and be a hero.
Gosh, mighty potentate, that's what I like about you. You never give up. You never say die.
What's the use, Mel? For 20 years I've been suggesting it to my wife, but nothing happened. Mel, you take my advice. You'll thank me later on. Well, I gotta be going now.
Where are you going, mighty potentate?
Well, Mel, I can do one of two things. I can go to the movies and see The Miracle on 34th Street, or I can go home and look at The Plague on 8th Avenue.
Well, maybe the mighty potentate is right. Hartley Benson is liable to lay a big egg, and then my chance will come. I'll go right up on that stage and hatch it.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to my supermarket, and I hope you'll enjoy the show. Without further ado, I present our master of ceremonies, your friend and mine, Hartley Benson.
Yes. Well, how do you do? What lucky people you are, sitting down there and looking up at great, big, adorable me. First, I shall do my famous impersonation of Gary Cooper with the assistance of Miss Betty Colby, who is almost as beautiful as I am.
Oh, Gary, isn't it wonderful that we should meet here alone in this corral?
Yup.
Let's run away together.
Yup.
Let's get married.
Yup.
And you can buy me mink coats, 4 autos, and 2 homes.
Why can't I keep my big yup shut?
Oh, Gary, can't you be more romantic? Look at that calf kissing that cow. Why can't we do the same?
Go ahead. It's your cow.
Betty, listen to those people booing. What am I going to do? The audience is leaving for the other supermarket.
Well, Mr. Colby, I'm here to help you out. Let me take over.
Mel Blanc, I thought I told you to stay out of... wait a minute. After all, what can I lose? All right, go ahead, but make it good.
Okay, here I go. Thank you, Hartley Benson. And now, folks, my first impersonation will be a well-known news commentator.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We have it on reliable authority that tonight in Russia... it is snowing. On the other hand, some say it is raining. Who knows what this may lead to? And in conclusion, I can safely state that in my unbiased opinion, in Russia tomorrow, it will be slushy.
Well, that's wonderful. We'll keep going.
But Mr. Colby, I'm finished. I don't have anything else to say. Besides, you won't let me tell those jokes I wrote for you.
You mean that horrible joke about your girl being sick in Chicago?
Mr. Colby, she's not in Chicago sick. She's in Chicago ill. Hey, Mr. Colby, they like that kind of stuff. Let's give them the rest of the act I wrote.
Hey, yabba!
Yes, what is it, Costello?
Oh, I think the family upstairs from us has got a bad leak in their pipes.
What makes you think so?
Oh, yesterday I finished my plate of soup 3 times. Hey, yabba! Look,
Look here. Here's a picture of my uncle. He's a flagpole sitter.
Well, why isn't he sitting on top of the pole?
Well, his wife died and he's sitting at half mast. Oh, gosh, my luggage. Hey, Abbott! Hey, do you know why insurance is like a football game?
No, why?
Well, because your relatives stand on the sidelines waiting for you to kick off.
Hey, tell me, what happened to your old girlfriend, Costello, the one with a shape like a dream boat?
Oh, she hasn't got a shape like a dream boat anymore.
Why not?
Her pier has collapsed.
Now, just a minute, Costello.
Oh, I'm a bad boy.
Gosh, Mel, you really came through for Father. Now it looks like he won't lose any of his business.
Oh, who cares about that, Betty? As long as we can get married.
Married?
I'd like to have 15 children, Betty. How about you?
Oh, I'd like 15, too.
Nothing doing, Betty. I don't want 30 children.
This is Bud Heaston reminding you that Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday night at this time. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Mel and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
The Mel Blanc Show on Tuned To Yesterday from June 6th, 1947 on CBS. And that wraps this hour of sitcoms on Tuned To Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.